And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this third week of July 2024. On the podcast this week, we're going into the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 17, as we look at the word seed and how it is used in other areas in the Word of God. The word seed is found a bunch of times, and we'll talk about that further into the podcast, but the word seed is used a bunch of times, and in those times, in some of those times, it's referring to one of the parts of a covenant. And we're going to talk about a covenant and what a covenant means. But the word seed here in 1 Chronicles is pointing towards a new covenant that God is making with David. And this covenant with David is a fundamental part of what we now call the dispensation of grace. Now, what's the difference between a covenant and a dispensation? We're going to talk about that too here in just a few moments. But first, we need to read our text. 1 Chronicles chapter number 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And we're going to read verse number 11. Well, 11, and we'll read down a little bit. "And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. More, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." All right. Now, I want to really zero in on the word found in verse number 11. And that word is the word seed. Seed. Now, the word seed, if I've counted right, is used almost 300 times in our Bible. And it's used throughout the Bible. But there's several instances where it's used where God is making a covenant with man. Now, let's go into a couple of words real quick. The word covenant is used over 300 times in the Word of God. I believe about 313 times. And then there's another word, and that word is dispensation, which is only used about 4 times in the Word of God. And all of those times are in Paul's writings in the New Testament. And so we'll look at those two words. The Old Testament word really is the word covenant, because when the Lord is talking to Noah, he says, "I establish my covenant." When he talks with Abraham, he talks about it being a covenant. And the word covenant is used a lot in the Old Testament. Like I say, over 300 times in the whole Word of God, more than the word seed is used. And so the word covenant is the word that I'm looking at. Now, a covenant is an agreement between two parties. A covenant is an agreement of benefits. It's distinguished from a contract in that a contract talks way more about what the parties are going to do that because they don't trust each other. A covenant is between parties that trust each other. And so marriage is a covenant as opposed to a contract. And the vows of marriage express the covenant relationship of a man and his wife. And that covenant relationship is supposed to be forever and inviolate. Most covenants, when you covenant something, that's for life. And in the Word of God, at least. And so in the Word of God, the covenants do not have ends. Now, God can supersede the covenant like he did with Abraham over Noah, and then Moses and the children of Israel over Abraham, and then David over that of Moses. And then we come down further and we get the covenant of grace. Well, let's look at them. Let's look at the covenants. There's a total of six in the Old Testament. And I'm going to give you the references on where those are found. The word seed is found in the covenant with Adam in Genesis 3:15, with Noah in Genesis 9:9, with Abraham beginning in Genesis 12:7 and going on through, with Jacob in Genesis 35:12, with Jacob, and it's an extension of the Abrahamic covenant. It's part of it, but God is more particularly covenanting with Jacob. In Exodus 28:43, with Aaron, and this is the priestly covenant of the Mosaic Law, and then the Palestinian covenant with the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 30. And so that's six covenants, the Davidic being the seventh covenant. Now, we talk about the grace, but we use a different word when we talk about grace because it's used in the book of Ephesians, dispensation. Now, there's a difference between covenant and dispensation. Covenant is an agreement. A dispensation comes from the word dispense. And there's the word dispense has several meanings. But when I think of the word dispense, I think of going to the pharmacy and the pharmacist dispenses your prescription. Now, that word dispense has several shades in that meaning. Number one, the pharmacist is giving you the prescription in exchange for some sort of consideration. In this case, it's money. But to dispense a prescription also means that the pharmacist is executing the written instruction found in the prescription. So a dispensation of grace is a little different than a covenant in that God said, I've written my prescription for the world out. And it's in these covenants that we've seen, these seven covenants in the Old Testament, ending with the Davidic covenant. We've seen the prescription, and the prescription is you need Christ the Savior. You need Christ the Savior. And now God dispenses the prescription during the age of grace and during that dispensation. Now I realize there's also the millennial kingdom, but that is part of the dispensation of grace because it's Christ ruling. Now, it's a different phase of that dispensation, but nonetheless, it is part of that. And then, of course, there will finally be, a dispensation of rest that we'll have at the end. And you know, I know I'm not using the accurate, quote, theological terms, but this is the way that I understand it, at least. This is the way that I've thought it through and I've looked at it. And so the covenant with Adam was pretty simple. You know what the covenant with Adam was? Don't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Mm-hmm. The covenant with Noah says, I do set my bow in the cloud and make a covenant with you that I won't flood the earth again. And the sign of my covenant is the bow in the cloud. And then Noah is given permission to eat meat and to go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. And in the case of Noah, the word replenish does mean to fill again. The word replenish does not necessarily mean to fill again. It just means to fill. A brand new department store, for instance, the very first thing they have to do is replenish the store. Even though it's never had anything in it, it's still replenishment. They don't say a replenishment team. They say a replenishment team. and it takes an empty store and stocks it for the very first time. And it's still referred to as replenishment. I actually participated in some of that when I worked for a major retailer when I was in college. And that's what they, if they ever opened a new store, that's what they called the team that went in and stocked it for the very first time, was a replenishment team. Anyway, I don't know why I got off onto that. But in any case, Noah is told to replenish and to bring back everything on the earth. And then the covenant with Abraham. And the covenant with Abraham takes several chapters to really establish. Beginning in chapter 12, then in chapter 15, and throughout Abraham's life and the record in the book of Genesis, God exposes more segments or phases of that covenant. And he solidifies it when he tells Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice your son Isaac. And Abraham is willing to do that because Abraham's faith. In all cases, this is a covenant of faith. If you'll just trust in the Lord and do what he says, then things will be fine. Adam had the simplest, don't eat that tree. Don't eat of that tree's fruit. That was a simple thing. Even the simplest of God's covenants, man has a hard time keeping up with the condition. And see, those covenants point toward the prescription for the disease of sin. And that prescription will then be dispensed in the dispensation of grace that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians as well as in Ephesians. And so, I encourage you to look up those references. I encourage you to look this up. Go through and go in and look at the Adamic covenant found in Genesis 3:15, the Noahic covenant in Genesis 9:9, and the Abrahamic covenant beginning in Genesis 12:7. But then we get a covenant with Jacob, and it's more of an extension to the covenant with Abraham, and it's found in Genesis 35:12. And up until the Exodus, these are the covenants that are found. And that is four of them. The fifth covenant, five being the number of grace, is when God brings them out of Egypt and gives them the Aaronic covenant, named after Aaron, the priestly covenant. You can call it the Mosaic covenant if you'd like. But I'm not going to get hung up on terminology. But the covenant is made, and it's made in the book Exodus 28. And Aaron becomes the high priest. And Aaron being the high priest is a foreshadowing of the prescription that is going to be dispensed in Jesus Christ as our ultimate high priest. We have such an high priest. They needed to see the pattern before they could dispense the prescription, okay? Before the prescription could be dispensed, there needed to be some preparation so that the earth could bring forth the prescription. Mm-hmm. There had to be some preparation. Same thing's true with pharmacies. But this is the fifth, and it is definitely the grace of God because they do not deserve it. He tells them as much. In the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy has so many areas that it just brims over and overflows with the idea that your fathers were not deserving. Your fathers were not, but yet God had a delight in thee. And that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, the people have spoken, well spoken that which they have spoken. And then he says, oh, that there were such an heart in them. And we see God's care and loving kindness and individual attention to Israel. Yeah. I encourage you to read that in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10 is an extraordinary study in the grace behind the covenant of the law in Aaron. And that really, we might as well call it that. It's the covenant of the law, even though the covenant of the law includes what comes next, But God established a covenant with Israel about the land. And that's found in the book of Deuteronomy. And as Moses is going off the scene, he gives Israel the blessings and the curses and tells them, if you'll do what God says, he will make your days long in the land. He'll make it to where the land will bring her increase and your enemies will be in fear of you and they will be weak. Talked about that a little bit last week. How that historians say the only reason that David and Solomon were able to have great kingdoms is all the other kingdoms were weak. Okay, you've hit the nail on the head, historian, just not for the right reason. Because they're not going to give God the glory for that, by no means. But that's who deserves the glory for that. God made it possible, not by making David and Solomon super strong, but by making their enemies super weak. And so that covenant has conditions. That covenant has punishments, has recourses for God if they don't keep the covenant. And it's intended to be how they are going to live in the land of Canaan. But this covenant of the land, this covenant in Canaan, covers them living in the land. Now, this covenant of Canaan is the one that most closely resembles the how that the Christian lives in the flesh. If the covenant with Aaron, number 5, is a type of grace, the covenant of Canaan is more of a type of the flesh and how we're supposed to live in the flesh, yet live in the spirit. How do we live in the land where there's sin? And the Amorites are the sin, the various ites that are found in the land of Canaan. This is a covenant of being able to live in a world that is opposed to you being spiritual. This is a covenant of how the Christian is to live a God-fearing, God-exalting, fruitful life, even in a body of flesh. And you got to do this by driving the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, all the ites that are found. And the number of ites varies depending on what the subject of that is in the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy gives the covenant of Canaan. The covenant with Canaan in Canaan is about dealing with these ites. And so the covenant's given in Deuteronomy, but then the covenant is carried out beginning in Joshua, and then they fail in the book of Judges. And God says, I'm not going to drive them out. See, that's why all of the enemies of Israel round about were so weak. David was going where God wanted. Solomon went to a degree where God wanted. And because of that, God made everybody else weak. It's not that David and Solomon were that strong. They weren't. Israel was not a strong nation in terms of fleshly strength. But, if the enemy's weak, it doesn't matter. And that's what God did. So the historians actually have a point. The only reason they were able to be great kingdoms is because other kingdoms were weak. And that was God's doing. That was God's doing. And so while the other kingdoms were weak, God made Israel strong. The other kingdoms would have stayed weak had Israel stayed with God. But that's not what happened. That covenant was not undone, by the way, by the covenant with David. If it were, then there never would have been a captivity. See, these covenants are additive. They're additive. They add to each other. And the covenant with Moses and Aaron about the law, the covenant of the law, and then the covenant of the land. And David's covenant is the one we're looking at here. And this is covenant number 7. Covenant number 6, how to live in a fleshly land. Covenant number 7, the worship and rest you're going to at the end. Each covenant has its own point, and the point is related to its number in the series. And so we're going to look at the details of the covenant with David. We'll look at the covenant of David with David, the covenant with David, the Davidic covenant, and what it means and how it is the final signature on the prescription for the dispensation of grace. Now, some people will get hung up in covenant theology versus dispensational theology. Both words are used. But dispensation is only ever used in the Word of God about the dispensation of grace. Because grace is a free gift. There's no conditions for God to give you grace. You say, now wait a minute, you got to do this. You have to get the prescription filled. That's all. All you got to do is get the prescription filled. And you let Jesus deal with the requirements. The prescription getting filled? What does that mean? What does that mean physically in the world? All right, if you've got a prescription, number one, you're going to fill it if you think that the drug of that prescription is going to do you any good. You're putting your faith in the drug that is being prescribed. Then you're going to the pharmacist, and you're basically, by giving the pharmacist the prescription, you're saying, you have the authority and right to give me this. Okay? The two conditions for being born again under the dispensation of grace is to believe with thine heart and to confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God hath raised him from the dead. The raising from the dead means the prescription's going to work. That deals with the efficacy, that is the effect of the prescription. The prescription will do what it's been written to do. And that is, in the case of this prescription, that is the cure for sin. But you got to take the prescription and get it filled. And this is a one-shot deal. You take that prescription and it is put into your blood. Put into your heart, and it's implanted, and the Holy Ghost of God applies the cure for your soul and for your spirit, but not yet for your flesh. And that's where that sixth covenant comes into place, that sixth covenant, that is the covenant of Canaan. That's where that comes into play, is in the area of living in a body of flesh while hoping for the world to come, which is the seventh covenant. And so the prescription is way more complicated, but all you got to do is you take the prescription to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist gives you the cure. And that is what's going on when you get born again. You're cashing in the prescription. You're taking the prescription and you're saying, I believe this will help me. And at that point, the Holy Ghost will apply the cure. So, the covenants of the Old Testament and the dispensation of grace of the New. Oh, my. And here we are at the end of the covenant series in the Old Testament, here with David. And the Lord willing, next week we'll go into some details about what those the conditions of that covenant is and how it interacts with some of the other conditions. Lord willing, next week. And I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by writing to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week on the I Want to Know More podcast.